We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
I want you to take your Bibles now and turn to James chapter 1 and verse 21. I want to speak to you on a truth tonight, and it is how to receive the Word of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed, or in his doing. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, the Bible is full of great facts. These facts are even more than facts. They are truths. But these truths can do you no good, even if you know them, if you don't receive them. To have facts is not enough. Someone says, I know the plan of salvation. Well, dear friend, I want to tell you that you can know the plan of salvation and believe the plan of salvation and go straight to hell. You are not saved by the plan of salvation. You're saved by the man of salvation, and his name is Jesus. And there are a lot of people who know the theology, but they have never received the truth. And I want to tell you, sir, that you can backslide with a Bible under your arm. If you do not receive the Word of God, it is one thing to have facts about Jesus. It is another thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is one thing to hear the Word of God. It is quite another thing to welcome the Word, to receive the Word. Notice in verse 21, James is talking about receiving the Word. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, that is, the Word that gets in. It means the implanted Word, Word that is alive like a seed. Receive that living Word, which is able to save your souls. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. What do you mean, save our souls? We're already saved. And the book of James is written to save people, written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, those who are already saved. Why do they need to be saved if they already have been saved? We'll learn this about salvation. Salvation is in three tenses. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. There's no contradiction. All three truths are there. I have been saved. That is, in the past, when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was saved, saved forever from the penalty of sin. And I shall be saved one day when I go to heaven from the possibility of sin. But I am being saved right now from the power of sin. And that's what James is talking about. He's not talking about going to heaven one day when he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save your souls. But he's saying, you receive the Word of God that is able to deliver your psyche. That's what the Greek word soul is, psyche. Your mind, your emotion, and your will. He's saying that the Word of God is able to sanctify you. That's what he's talking about when he says the Word of God is able to save your soul. He's not talking here primarily about having your sins forgiven in the past or going to heaven in the future, but he's talking about that the Word of God right now will be able to give you deliverance, the saving of your mind, your emotion, and your will, your deliverance from the power and pollution of sin right now. The same thing is taught in Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. And the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Again, the psyche. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, rejoicing or enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Oh, my friends, if you could only understand the power of this book that's able to deliver your souls. Let me tell you a personal testimony. Do you know what keeps Adrian Rogers going day after day? It is not my emotions. I'm not a particularly emotional person. I have a rather stable emotional system. I don't get too high. I see some of you folks that you get all charged up and you want to shout and cry and weep and hallelujah and praise the Lord. And I think that's wonderful if you do. But I see some of those same folks dragging bottom way down here. Boy, they just get about as low they could sit on a curb and dangle their feet. The same people that have been up here shouting and praising the Lord, they are sort of manic depressives. They go up and they go down. They have that kind of a testimony. Well, I don't do that. I just kind of stay in the middle. I don't get too low and I don't get too high, and I just kind of stay in that narrow band. That's the way I am. And I don't necessarily get my charge and my impetus from emotion. The thing that keeps me going is what I know. It is truth that has been through the years the thing that keeps me. Friend, there is power in the Word of God. If you want to be a successful, vibrant Christian, and I don't mean to imply by that that I am, but I will say that anything good about me certainly would be due to this fact. If you want to be victorious in your Christian life, then you must stay in the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to deliver your psyche, your mind, your emotion, your will, to keep you going. There is no way, underscore it, emphasize it, exclamation point, there is no way that you're going to be victorious apart from receiving this book. And the reason that so many people are anemic is they have never learned to receive the engrafted word, which is able to deliver their psyche, which is able to save their souls. Now look at that word receive. There are two Greek words that are translated receive. One of them is lambano. Lambano, which means to simply take out and grasp. Just to reach out and take and receive to yourself. That's sort of acquiring that comes through study. But here the Bible uses a different word to receive. It is the word dekomai, which means to welcome. Not to reach out and take, but to open and receive. To welcome the word. That's what he says, receive with meekness. He's not saying just to reach out and take the word, because you'll never get it that way. You know, that's the problem. Sometimes a man goes to seminary and he thinks, well now, if I've got a good mind and I've got a well-stocked library and I've got a good sharp pencil and a pair of eyeglasses, and I'll just go to this book and I'll study this book and boy, I'll learn what it's all about. I want to tell you something, mister. You can backslide with a Bible under your arm, and don't you forget it. You can backslide in seminary just as quick as you can anywhere else. Because you're not going to go in and reach in and pull it out. No, no, not lambano, dekomai. You're going to have to open your heart and welcome the Word. You're going to have to receive the Word of God as you would receive a friend into your house. Now tonight, I want to tell you three ways to welcome the Word, to receive the Word. At least I want to let James tell us. First of all, you are to welcome the Word with repentance. If a guest is coming to your house, one of the first things that you ought to do is clean the house. And certainly it is true that if we want the Word of God to dwell in us richly and abound unto all fruitfulness, then we must welcome the Word with repentance. Look at verse 21. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now let's look at that word filthiness. This word filthiness, the Greek word rupus, literally it's a medical term and it refers to wax in the ear. That which keeps you from hearing. You see, sometimes there's certain things that are in our spiritual ears that need to be removed so that we can hear. I heard about a man and somebody came up to him and said, "Say, you've got a carrot in your ear." He said, "Huh?" He said, "You've got a carrot in your ear." He said, "Huh?" He said, "You've got a carrot stuck in your ear." He said, "I can't hear you. I've got a carrot in my ear." Now, it seems that God is trying to tell us there's something wrong with us, but we can't hear him because the very thing that's wrong with us is keeping us from hearing him tell us that that is wrong with us. And we're not going to be able to receive the Word until we take that out of our ears, which is stopping up our ears. And that's the word filthiness here. It refers to that which stops up the ears, that keeps you from hearing. And then look at that other word, superfluity of naughtiness. Look at that in verse 21. This word superfluity, of course, is very akin to our word superfluous. It means that which remains. That's literally what it means. That which is left over. I guess the best description we could give this would be a hangover sin. That which is left. You see, people are saved. They're born again. They've received the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sins are forgiven. And yet there seems to be sort of a hangover sin that comes over from the old life. The Bible calls that superfluous or superfluity of naughtiness. Let me give you an example of that. You remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? And Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus there in John chapter 11. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth, but boys and girls, he came forth like a mummy. He's just all wrapped up in the grave clothes. It must have been something to see old Lazarus come out of that grave like that. He was wrapped round and round and round and round like a cocoon in the grave clothes. That's the way they would bury a person, just wrap them in linen, round and round and round. He could hardly move. He had life, but he didn't have liberty. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." That is, take off that superfluity of naughtiness. He has life, but there's certain grave clothes that are still clinging to him. Get rid of those. Or again, you think of the prodigal son as he comes. He says, "I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." That is, the prodigal came with the old filthy clothes of the old life. And he had to lay that aside, those hangover sins. Now, he came to the Father, but he still had some hangover sins, as it were. Now, I wonder, is there part of that old life? I'm talking to you, some of you who are saved, but you're still wearing the old filthy grave clothes. You're still wearing the smock that you wore in the hog pen. You're not ready to receive the Word. Listen, friend. Do you want the Bible to speak to you? Do you want the Bible to be alive to you? Would you really like to welcome the Word? Do you want to get something out of your Bible study? I know no way that you can do it unless you're willing to repent of that filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Listen to what James says. Wherefore, Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Well, you say, Brother Rogers, it's not all that bad, just a little sin. There are no little sins. We think they're little. Who is it knocks so loud? Just a lonely little sin. Slip through, I answered, and soon all hell was in. You see, friend, one sin, no matter how small we may deem it, opens the door for other sins. Do you want the Word of God to burst a flame in your hand? Would you like to read this book and have it come into you just as you open your heart and receive a friend? Then listen to what James says. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Have you ever heard people sing, Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. And they keep singing, but that cup never gets filled. You want me to tell you why? They're singing the wrong song. They ought to be singing, Cleanse my cup, Lord. I messed it up, Lord. And when that cup gets clean, then God will fill it. They're ready to receive the word. Now, you receive the word, first of all, with repentance. Secondly, not only should you receive the word with repentance, but receive the word with readiness. With readiness. Look again in verse 21. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Look at that word, meekness. You know what that word meekness means? It means a compliant spirit, a ready spirit, ready to obey. You see, the reason that some of us don't get anything from the Bible is we don't have a meek spirit. Now, you need to understand what meekness is. Meekness is not weakness. Moses was the meekest man that ever lived, the Bible says, and certainly Moses wasn't a weak man. Moses was the commander-in-chief of a great army and a very powerful figure. But Moses had meekness. The word meekness means teachability, trainability, controllability. In the olden days, when they would take a horse, a wild stallion, and want to put a saddle on that stallion so he could be ridden, they would take a person who was trained in breaking horses. Now, that person wouldn't cripple or hobble that horse, but he would get on that horse time and again until finally the horse learned to run with a rider on his back and obey the pull of the bridle, and when that was done, they said the horse had been made meek. The horse had been meeked. That is, he is now teachable. He is now guidable. He is now controllable. Are you teachable? Are you? Do you know why some folks don't really understand the Word of God? Because when God's Word says something, they parade it past the jury of their mind. And the Word of God says A, B, C. And they say, let me see, A, B, C. Does that sound right? Yeah, I believe A. Not so sure about B. Yes, C is all right. Well, let me see. What about that B? And they try to figure it out, you see. They're not teachable. They think that really they are the sum total of it, and that somehow that it has to agree with them, and they parade it past their mind rather than just simply receiving the Word of God. Oh, my friend, do you want to learn from the Word? Jesus said in John 7:17, if any man will do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. Some folks are stubborn. And that's the reason they don't welcome the Word. They don't receive the Word. They're like that man who said, I'm open to conviction. I'd just like to see the man who could convict me. They're just really stubborn. Now, if you would receive the Word, you must receive it with repentance. That is, you must be clean. You must receive it with meekness. That is, you must be broken, ready to do the will of God. Repentance and readiness. Now, thirdly, if you would welcome the Word, you must receive the Word with responsiveness. With responsiveness. Look again here in the Word of God now in verse 22. And be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How terrible, how horrible for a person to be deceived. But doubly horrible and ironic it is that a man would deceive his own self. Now, you see, if you do not respond to what you claim to have received and welcomed, you're a fool. And you have fooled yourself. You're self-deceived. You say, Brother Rogers, you ought not to call people a fool. Well, then let's let Jesus do it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26, a man is like a foolish man who hears these words of mine and will not do them. He's like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and Jesus says he's a foolish man who does that. He is a self-deceived man. Do you know what's wrong with some of you folks? Listening to sermons. That's what's wrong with you. You've got a notebook full of sermons, and you've got a tape library full of sermons. But you have no more intention of obeying what you hear from this pulpit than you have what you watched last night on television. It's a kind of a little hobby with you of taking truth but not responding to that truth. You become a hearer of the word without becoming a doer of the word, and then you are self-deceived, and that is so dangerous because a man who is self-deceived gets himself into a trap that he can hardly get out of. It's not enough for you to go away raving about the music and bragging about the sermon. That's really no compliment. If you want to compliment my preaching, then live by the word of God that I preach. That's the compliment. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You see, I believe it was Peter Lord who said, what we really believe, we live by. The rest is just religious talk. You want me to give you a test as to whether or not you're receiving the word? Are you ready to take that test? Is your knowledge of the Bible making you more like Jesus Christ? That's a simple test. Is your knowledge of the Bible making you more like Jesus Christ? You see, we're to receive the word with repentance, a clean heart, with readiness, meekness, willingness to do it, and then with responsiveness, we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. How are we to respond? Well, I want you to look in verses 23 and 24. James gives us a great example of what he's talking about. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's the face you were born with, your natural face. You know, sometimes when they bury a person, they say, don't he look natural? That's your natural face. And you've got it, you're stuck with it. I wish I could encourage you. Beauty's only skin deep, but ugly goes all the way to the bone. Beauty fades, but ugly holds its own. That's your natural face. Your natural face. And he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, Paul says. But then in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, in verses 23 and 24, he uses the word behold. And this word behold means a casual glance. A person who beholds his face in a mirror. He's like a person who wakes up in the morning and his beard is grown out, his hair is tousled, he's got bags under his eyes, and he goes and he looks in the mirror and he glances in. He looks at himself for a moment and agrees that he needs to put his face in shape. But then he just, after a fleeting glance, he goes his way and goes off to work. He forgets what he saw in the mirror. He just glances in the mirror for just a moment. And that's all. There's no change. There's no bathing. There's no shaving. There's no combing. He's just like he was. Same fella. Glanced in the mirror for just a second, saw it, and forgot it. Now that's the first word, for behold. That's right there. Now the two different words that are used here in these verses. The first one means a casual glance. The other means a careful gaze. Now look in verse 25. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Compare that now. You may not see it in the King James, but it's there. Now look in verse 23, a man beholding, and then in verse 25, a man looking into. Beholding means a casual glance. Looking into means a careful gaze. This word that's translated here in verse 25, looking into, is the same word that's found in John chapter 20 and verse 5. And it speaks of the disciple John looking into the empty tomb. He believes that Jesus may have been raised from the dead. He's not quite sure. And he bends over and he peers into the darkness and intently, with his eyes set, searching, trying to see everything that he can see, he looks steadfastly. Now that's the way you're to look into the Word. Not just a casual glance, but a steadfast, careful, gazing into the Word and a careful examination of the Word. And then after an examination of the Word, an application of the Word. Look into it. Pick it up. Read it. Study it. Scrutinize it. So many of us have sort of a little Brill Cream type of devotions. A little dab will do you. And we just get in there and we read a little verse and we've got some little old book of devotions. Nothing wrong with those. They're all right for just a little knick-knack, a little snack, like a saltine cracker. That's all right. But oh, my dear friend, when are you going to get this book down and peer into it and look into it and gaze into it and study it? No wonder the Word of God is not real to you. And when it's not real to you, no wonder you're not victorious in your Christian life. You're to look into it intently, not a casual glance. And then when you see what the Word of God tells you, when the Word of God, like a mirror, reflects back that image that you see, then you're to go about putting your life in order. Don't forget what manner of man you were. You're to change your way of living. And when you do that, the Word of God will become a blessing. You want to understand the Word of God? Let me tell you a great truth that I've learned about Bible study. The way to understand the part of the Bible you don't understand is to obey the part you do understand. Now that's simple, isn't it? You look at it, and when it shows you something, then you obey that. And my friend, if you've done that, you have welcomed the Word.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ, right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but You died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. And help me to live for You from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.